and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. He could decide today or at any time till July 3rd on whether or not to join Israel in attacking Iran's nuclear facilities. That from President Trump through his press secretary at the White House, Carolyn Leavitt.
Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks.
President has approved attack plans, but has not yet given the order. Some aides, especially the MAGA ones, reminding Mr. Trump he promised to end, not start wars. Immigration police are ramping up raids at workplace locations like farms, restaurants, and hotels, even after President Trump indicated last week that he wanted those raids to stop. President Trump on social media saying he signed an executive order to keep TikTok up and running. The order extends the deadline for 90 days. This is the third reprieve for TikTok. This is ABC News. ChatGPT touts itself as a way to help with writing, but a new study from the MIT Media Lab finds the artificial intelligence tool may be doing more harm than good.
People who use ChatGPT to help write SAT-style essays consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels, according to researchers at MIT. Another group who used no technological aids were found to exhibit more brain function when writing, especially around creativity and memory load. The study is small and not peer-reviewed, though the researchers behind it say it was necessary to publish now because of the pace at which AI is being adopted. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Former President Biden's expected to attend Juneteenth celebrations in Galveston, Texas. That's where the last enslaved people in America learned they were free, more than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Mr. Biden signed legislation to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle, that turns into an all-day pool party rager in your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot with up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $600 off select appliances with free delivery like GE Profile. Simplify your routine with GE Profile appliances, from refrigerators with autofill pitchers and multiple dispensing options to all-in-one washer-dryer combos that can wash and dry a full load in under 2 hours. Shop 4th of July savings on top-brand appliances now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid June 18th through July 9th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. The clock is running to complete work on the next state budget.
Joint Finance Committee co-chair Senator Howard Markline remains confident.
It's our goal to get a budget passed and hopefully before the end of this month.
With two Senate Republicans voicing misgivings about the budget, JFC Democrat Senator Keld Royce says it's time to compromise.
And that means coming to Democrats. We are here. We are willing. You know, we don't have to get our way on everything.
If the new budget isn't in place by the end of the fiscal year, at the end of this month, current state funding levels would remain in place. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A spokesman says UW system officials are astounded that Republican lawmakers are considering a budget cut.
In a statement, Universities of Wisconsin Director of Media Relations Mark Pitch noted that the UW system budget has endured cuts for more than a decade, and Wisconsin has fallen to 44th out of 50 states nationally in public funding. Pitch says that is not sustainable if Wisconsin wants to win the war for talent, and the proposed $87 million cut in state funding will put access and affordability in deep jeopardy. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Amid increased security at the Capitol, both chambers of the Wisconsin legislature held moments of silence Wednesday for the victims of last weekend's political violence in Minnesota. This is Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux.
Political violence is never the answer. We need to solve our differences through legislation. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families affected. We're happy and thankful and grateful for the efforts of law enforcement in Minnesota for their swift action.
Lance Belder faces both state and federal charges in the assassination of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband and the wounding of another lawmaker and his spouse.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and warm today with high temperatures making it to the mid-80s with a small chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Coming more likely into the night and especially overnight and through tomorrow morning, some could be strong to severe. After that, the heat cranks up for the weekend. Get the bathroom you've always wanted, interest-free from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
No such thing as a day off on the farm, right? Or on AgriTalk. Well, kind of. We're in the same boat today as the rest of the nation takes the day off. I've got questions, and I think I know just who to ask. Live from Juneteenth afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Bubba. Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm the host of AgriTalk, Davis Michelson, here in for Chip Flory. Woo! It's been a long, eventful week so far, and it ain't over, gang. Let's see, we started out just lots of fire on the TV, it seems like, is kind of where we started the week. And the news just keeps coming. We've got trade deals up in the air. We've got Iran and Israel going back and forth. We've still got Russia and Ukraine trading blows. There's an awful lot out there, and it can be easy for us to get hung up in the weeds. And sometimes what I need to just give me a little bit of fresh perspective, you can take it or you can leave it however you like it, but a fresh perspective never hurts. So I've got Bubba in for the entirety of the show. We're going to talk through segs 2, segment 3, and segment 4, getting to the bottom of some of these answers. But I absolutely don't want to lose focus. Our primary mission here on AgriTalk is Agra. So we're going to start with a discussion, get his thoughts on the setup in the market right now. He's been on with us each Wednesday since, I don't know, 2012, maybe. Seems that long anyway. He was with us at the very beginning of AgriTalk. He's talked a lot lately about the low volume in the markets, and I kind of want to get past that. And maybe it's going to take a little bit of a look forward. Maybe it's going to take, I'm just going to have to pick Bubba's brain on that, but we're going to start there. And before the show is over, we'll be sure and hit as many markets as we can
so that you folks out there trying to make some decisions at least can hear Bubba pipe in to your situation. Like I said, take it or leave it, but the guy's a great, great market watcher, keeps a good eye on the news, and he's a good friend of AgriTalk. I enjoy talking with Bubba. So I hope you enjoy today's show as much as I know that I will. I've got news here. Now, the markets are closed today, so we're going to talk about yesterday as if today hasn't even happened. Okay, that's what we'll do. Wheat futures exploded to the upside in yesterday's trade. SRWD wheat futures forged a two-month high amid global production concerns. Some crop quality declines occurred earlier this month and in May amid frequent rain and wet field conditions, that according to World Weather Inc. This as one of Russia's largest grain-producing regions declared a state of emergency in 8 drought-hit municipalities. July SRWD futures broke through the 100-day moving average and closed above critical resistance around 571, a heck of a day yesterday in the markets. July HRWD wheat futures yesterday 23 and a half higher at 571 and a quarter. July soft red wheat added 25 and a quarter cents to 574 and a quarter. And there's September spring wheat futures 661 and a half on yesterday's close. That was up 17 and one quarter cents. Some dryness concerns in there. And now we've got Russia. You know, Michelle Rook and I talked yesterday about how much does this Russia stuff really? I mean, we've got a little bit of headline fatigue from the war headlines out of Russia and Ukraine. And I think that this is probably kind of getting lumped into that, unfortunately. Corn futures were higher in yesterday's trade, drafting to the upside on strength in wheat. Southern portions of center-south Brazil will receive additional rain over the coming week, and that will further bolster soil moisture for late-planted safrinha corn, possibly resulting in higher yields. Center-west areas of Brazil, however, will not see much moisture, and crop stress is expected to increase. Here at home, ethanol production averaged 1.109 million barrels per day during the week ended June 13. That's down 1% from the previous week, but up almost 5% from last year, up 4.9%. Ethanol stocks rose 386,000 barrels to 24,120 million barrels. July corn futures yesterday, 2 cents higher, 433 and a half. September corn gained 5 and a quarter cents to 429. December corn futures closed at 444, up 5 and one quarter cents on the day. And after moving in concert early, soybean meal and oil reversed course around midday yesterday. That ended an early advance in soybeans and dragged beans lower into the close. Industry watchers say China's move to curb the use of soy meal in animal feed to reduce its dependence on soybean imports is feasible, but will be costly and technically challenging for smaller farmers. They account for about one-third of Chinese pork production. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is moving swiftly to broaden Section 232 tariffs to cover a far wider range of consumer goods. And that, of course, intensifies trade tensions. July soybeans, 0.75 cents higher yesterday, 10.74¾. August beans up a half penny, 10.76¾. November beans closed at 10.68¼. That's up 0.5 cents yesterday. December cotton, 88 points lower yesterday at 66.67. Now, let's look over at the livestocks. After Tuesday's hefty losses, cattle complex futures staged a corrective recovery yesterday. Wholesale beef values continued higher on Monday. Choice was up $4.40 to $3.86.51, while select jumped $5.07 to $3.72.54. So your choice at $3.86.51 and your select at $3.72.54. Those are quite the levels there. August live cattle, $1.02 and a half higher at $2.11.67 and a half. October fat cattle added 67 and a half cents to $2.09.22 and a half. And August feeder futures gained 82 and one half cents to $3.04.17 and a half. And over to the snout side, lean hog futures were mostly higher yesterday as the fundamentals and the overarching technical posture of the market discouraged sellers. July lean hogs yesterday were 52 and a half higher at 112.17 and a half. October hogs fell 2 and one half cents to 95.15. All right. So that's the news from yesterday. Once again, the markets were closed today, but that gives me an opportunity to talk to Bubba. Now, I want to try try to avoid too much talk about the Fed. Bubba and I can kind of get to going on the Fed. The expectation was and has been received now, not that big a deal, no change. Some are thinking maybe we'll get a change in rates come September, but that's an awful long ways off. So looking at these markets, the corn spreads are still kind of upside down. We talked with Darren Fry from Water Street Solutions just yesterday on the afternoon show. He's a little bit perplexed by the spreads in the corn market as well. Obviously, there's somebody in there playing these spreads back and forth and pushing these markets around. However, we've got ethanol production at 1.109 barrels per day in the most recent report. That is down just a percentage point, but up 5% from last year. That's encouraging to me. What's a little discouraging about those ethanol numbers, the stocks numbers, almost 400,000 barrels higher, 386,000 barrels to 24.120 million barrels. That feels a little hefty for me. I remember the days when it was like 18 or 19 million barrels. Anyway, we've got some great conversations coming up with me and Bubba next here on AgriTalk. Stick around. We're going to start with what Bubba thinks of the markets right now here on AgriTalk.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and...
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.61% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk on your Juneteenth Thursday. On this day, see, when Chip left to go on vacation, he was going to be gone all week, and actually, he'll be gone Monday, too. Yeah, he's taking an extended weekend at the end of his vacation, which is fine. He's earned his time off for sure. But I'm afraid he's going to come back and say, well, Davis, what was the most important thing that happened while I was gone? There's an awful lot going on. I love to lean into my friend Todd Bubba Horwitz in these moments from BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, you have strong opinions. You are not afraid to speak them. And we love that about you, big guy. But I need you to help me figure out, because one of the things you do so well for me personally is you help me sort out. No, that's not important at all. That was already figured in. That's important. Yes, pay attention to this. I really appreciate that about you, buddy boy. Welcome to AgriTalk here. Wow, really long intro for you there, pal. Looks like you got your jacket on. You trading today?
I am. I'm trying to trade. There is no trade, but it is great to be with you. There is nothing to do. This is probably one of the slowest markets I've ever seen. There's virtually nothing going on. Of course, you know, we have to wait, and we need a reason to see these markets break out. So, again, until they do something, they're really just kind of in a range and, you know, with very little volume, but very little action.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to get to some of the specific news items here that we've observed already this week. But first, I think it is important for us to talk about the time of year that we're in. Are there seasonalities here market-wise that maybe we can hang our hat on for a little bit of hope for a rally here? Or are we going to maintain this kind of quiet, low-volume, kind of blah trade through this key period here?
In general or grains only?
Let's start with grains, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at the grain market, they're really just stuck in a very tight trading range with the exception of wheat, which broke out on Wednesday. You know, again, but overall, it's been very hard. I mean, you can go back to about February 8th and see them go straight sideways and really not much action. And again, as I've said repeatedly, I'm not really that interested in trading or being involved right now, but if I would do anything, it would be to buy them because there is, you know, the potential of weather issues. There is the potential of a stock market sell-off, which would bring in new money. There is the potential that, you know, I don't think the economy is going to magically get better. I think the economy is in bad shape. I think we are in a recession, but that's still, we still got to eat and there's still going to be food. So I think that if we get a move in the grain markets, it will be to the upside as we're seeing in wheat. But again, the question is, will we get out of this malaise of a market that has been really, in all markets, a lack of participation? We're trading at about 50% of normal volumes. And of course, we're going in the summer, which is also a slower period of time. So until the equities crack and until there's more participation, I think that we continue in this malaise of a trade unless we can break out. Now, again, we saw a wheat break out. Let's see if the others can follow and continue. But overall, I'm not excited about the overall market conditions.
The money that exited the stock market, the equity markets, ahead of Inauguration Day, gosh, I'm trying to think, was it ahead of maybe it was Liberation Day when a lot of folks, a lot of investors decided, yeah, this is too much risk for me. I'm just going to hold it in cash. Do you have a sense for how much of that money is still outside of the market? How much of it has yet to be reintroduced?
Well, there's always money on the outside. You know, we fall into that false misnomer that there's money on the sidelines. There's not. There's always money on the sidelines. There's always money to invest. And probably especially now more than ever because we have such a lack of participation. But what you've seen from an average investor, those who were putting their money in their 401ks, a lot of them have stopped doing so, which is a dramatic mistake for those people because they're giving up the 4% they get for free. But you're seeing probably 6 or 7% of the population investing in markets right now because they're having trouble living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, there's a very interesting example. If you go back to 1985, the average income was $25,000 a year. The average house was $80,000, which is, let's say, 3.5 times. Today, the average income is $70,000. The average house is $500,000, which is 7.5 times. That shows you the destruction of what the Federal Reserve, what our government has done to our money. They have destroyed it and continue to do so.
So maybe what's needed is a property value reset to try and help out with that. But then if I'm a property owner, that's the last thing I want to do. I'm not sure how we solve that.
Well, we solve it by government actually following a real lifetime budget, okay, where they stop spending all of our money on government, okay? That is something that that we have to have taken care of, is we have to come to some point where we say, okay, government, enough spending, enough giving away, enough of the side deals. I mean, because, of course, you know, they've taken a number of raises even through COVID, and we don't have a budget. If you and I lived like the government is run, we'd be in bankruptcy court or jail, because what they're doing is just spending and spending like drunken sailors. The debt continues to go, but they bank on the fact that they can continue to reduce the value of the dollar, which who ends up paying for all that is the taxpayer. Okay. And they continue to punish the taxpayer. If they would actually come down to a real budget and actually have to follow it, we would find ourselves in a lot better shape than we are right now. And that's of course causes the monster inflation that we have. And make no mistake, inflation has not come down. All that's happened is the rate has slowed. We're still probably at 12 to 15% inflation.
At some point, the American consumer begins to give. And with you're talking about in the 401k, they don't feel like they've got the money to put it away for some magic someday. And I think you're exactly right. In the worst of times, we need to continue preparing for our own future. Where the consumer has really surprised us has been in beef demand. Retail beef demand has been outstanding. We saw record cash cattle prices again last week. When that starts to slip, it's thought, well, okay, then that's going to be the end of the run here. But the futures set back pretty hard earlier this week in the cattle complex. I'm just wondering if you might have some thoughts on the cattle here right now.
Well, I mean, I guess we're still dealing with a shortage. I mean, this is almost like a forced shortage of beef right now. It makes no sense. I mean, again, these prices are skyrocketing. And again, you know that I was short them earlier, took my losses, moved on. And I'm not going to fight what's going on with them now. But at the end of the day, I want to know who the buyers are. And I think that because we had a little problem with the herds and they were a little short, I think they've also created a shortage to continue to keep these prices higher. And again, listen, I can't tell you when they're going to go down, but I want to know who's going to be the buyer, who's going to the restaurant, who's going to have a steak, because the average consumer cannot afford it. And I think that's the bigger issue. But again, as long as we have a shortened supply and they keep it that way, then prices will remain high. But certainly if I'm a farmer or a producer, I'm hedging these prices here because I'm certainly making a lot of money up here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just to run the table while we're on the subject here, how do you feel about the hog market currently? And later on, we can talk about maybe some specific things to do in specific markets and things like that. But I do love your general impressions.
Well, I like that. I think the hog market looks good. I think there's probably a little bit of a pullback coming, and not dramatic, and I don't think it's going to suddenly turn over. I mean, basically, the hogs have gone straight up, right? We've been talking about them, about buying hogs and selling cattle, and that was back in at 88 cents in July, and now July is $1.12 or so. You know, you have to expect a pullback. Markets don't go straight down forever, and they don't go straight up forever. At some point, there should be some sort of a pullback, which I think we'll probably see on the next, you know, day or two or week. But I think that'll be more of a buying opportunity. I mean, you look out into the deferreds, and, you know, when's the last time you saw December hogs near 90?
The G7 summit hosted by Canada came at a time of deep division over foreign policy and trade, with the Trump administration's aggressive tax policies. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney to have a one-on-one meeting at the G7 in Alberta there. Interesting story here, and we did find out later that Trump had to leave that meeting a little bit early to go deal with some Middle East stuff. I'm still not quite sure what that means, but an interesting little note almost at the bottom of this paragraph here. While Trump pushes for Russia's readmittance to the G7 against opposition from other leaders, have you heard about this? Does Russia want back in the G7?
I think they want to be a part. But again, I think that we've got a pretty big mess going on right now. And this all goes back to the control that was given up by the previous administration. This goes back to some of the things that happened. And again, should Russia be a part of it? I don't know. Again, I'm not, that isn't in my power, my wheelhouse. But certainly, I think that the United States needs to take more control over the rest of the world and put their foot down, and enough with the nonsense. And I think that goes to what's going on in the Middle East right now. I think we need to get involved because our number one ally is getting pelted with bombs over there.
Yeah, it's Juneteenth. It's Thursday afternoon. Your pal Davis Michelson here with Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com on AgriTalk.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check yesterday's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 23 and one half cents higher at 571 and a quarter. July SRW wheat added 25 and one quarter cents to 574 and a quarter. July corn futures 2 cents higher, 433 and one half. December corn futures closed at 444. That was up 5 1/4 cents yesterday. July soybeans were 0.75 cents higher, but 10.74 3/4. Novi beans closed at 10.68 1/4. That was up 0.5 cents on the day yesterday. December cotton 88 points lower, 66.67. Over to your livestock. August fat cattle 1.5 higher, 2.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are also scheduled dairy tours and field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.com.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit Martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and warm today with high temperatures making it to the mid-80s with a small chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Coming more likely into the night and especially overnight and through tomorrow morning, some could be strong to severe. After that, the heat cranks up for the weekend. Get the bathroom you've always wanted, interest-free from BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson here on your Juneteenth afternoon. AgriTalk PM is underway. We've got Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com, with us here. Now, in the last segment, we were kind of talking about the G7 stuff. Let's move on to another news story here. China's new home prices in 70 cities dropped 3.5% from year ago. To me, that doesn't feel like a terrible decline, 3.5% year on year. But that's the 23rd straight month of contraction in the housing sector, reflecting continued efforts by Beijing to cushion the impact of the prolonged property downturn. The property sector is the thing, isn't it, Todd? Can you help us get our heads around, when you're talking about the American consumer looking to the 401k, the Chinese worker looks to real estate, and their property values have been, well, in contraction for 23 straight months now.
Well, and again, of course, we know that China, the worst place in for humanity in general. Look, they have no, they're struggling. They're in worse shape financially than we are. And of course, now with the tariffs and everything else going on, it's creating a little bit more havoc there. I think that you would see property values continue to fall there because we have a problem. You know, we tend to get a little bit too excited and push prices a little bit too far. And certainly you don't have the same opportunity if you're an average person in China that you have other places in the world to actually make a real living. So I think that it's no surprise, and their economy is no surprise because it's pretty weak right now. And I think it's going to get weaker. And I think that's where we're looking at, that China's got some real issues, and that will spread, I believe, around the globe. And I think we're starting to see it here as well.
Now, they've talked about, I thought I saw, maybe I didn't pull this one in. Oh, here we go. The head of China's central bank, this from today, pledged to expand the international use of the digital yuan. A digital yuan now, buddy. What do you think?
Well, digital currency, not cryptocurrency, but digital currency will be the end of a lot of things, okay? That's going to hurt business. That's going to hurt a lot of things that we wouldn't want it to hurt. And it's very short-sighted by the Chinese right now, and it'll be short-sighted by the United States when we go to a digital currency, because that means that you will be tracked from the moment you're born to the moment you die, because there will be no more paper money. There'll be no, you want to go out and gamble a little bit, well, everybody's going to know what you're doing. And again, I'm really against that part of it. I don't think that central banks, I don't think that the Federal Reserve should have knowledge of everything that I do with the money that I have. And I think that's a tragedy, but it does allow them, of course, to even print faster and create more digital currency. And I think it's a horrible thing, but I know it's coming.
Some would argue that we are already extremely close. I mean, think about it. You go to Amazon.com. You don't send Amazon cash. You know, you swipe it. You know, there's all sorts of ways. Besides, about the only thing that I use cash for, I had cash in my pocket. Oh, I have some today left over from yesterday. I went and got a haircut. My barber only takes cash. Cash on the barrel.
God bless your barber. I wish I only took cash. But, again, obviously we're a credit society. But, you know, again, you want to go to the casino and play around a little bit. Maybe you don't want your wife to know. I mean, you know, she's going to know everything because it's all going to be in a digital wallet. I'm not a big fan of this dramatic technology. I think it gives government far too much power. I think that we've given up a lot of our freedom already. I mean, you can go back to the FISA warrants that they okayed after 9/11. So I think that, you know, we are supposed to be the land of the free. And I don't think we're so free anymore. And the more that they take control, the more they can watch everything that you do, and I'm not a big fan.
It may be fixing to get weird here just a little bit. Have you got any strong opinions about AI? It seems like I've seen reports where some are saying that AI is becoming kind of strange, a little bit uncontrollable. Sometimes AI would have to be a part of a system like that.
Well, AI is, first of all, let's talk about its power requirements. You know, everybody bitched and moaned about how much money it costs to mine Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. Well, AI at current levels is using 10 times the power that Bitcoin used and is growing every day, okay? So we're really killing our own power supply, which is why we need to go to nuclear power, but that's a story for another day. But I think AI will hurt the job market. I think it'll hurt, you know, it won't hurt the youth, the young guys, and some of the older people, not like me, because I don't understand the crap, but you know, you don't have jobs. We have enough trouble in jobs in this country now, and AI is replacing a lot of those jobs. And again, it's not such a big deal for, you know, people that are, let's say under 40. I don't know if that's the right number, but let's say under 40. But if you're over 40 and you need a job, you're probably not going to be able to find one unless it's working at McDonald's or pushing shopping carts at Walmart because of AI, because AI has replaced a lot of things that other people would do in the past. And, you know, again, I understand technology. I understand it's growing and I understand it may be good, but we're not ready for the carnage that's going to happen to the people that really still need to work when they get to that age of retirement and have no idea what AI is all about.
Right, right. Well, it would open the door for universal basic income, though, if there was no place for everyone to work because the robots have taken all of our jobs. There's that.
And of course, where's the production? Where's the money going to come from? Well, the taxpayers are going to pay for it. You know, that is the short-sighted view.
Yep.
Okay, is that the taxpayer has to pay to support the universal basic income? Because remember, government creates nothing but debt. They don't create a product. They govern, and obviously our government is way too big. The federal government was never meant to be the largest employer in the world. So, again, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. They're working to take up the tax bill here. And again, if I throw something in, you're just like, I don't know. Aims to make the 2017 corporate tax cuts permanent, introduces sweeping reductions to Medicaid. You got any thoughts on this this tax bill here and making the 2017 cuts permanent?
I like it. I hope they listen. Well, I have to ask you this question, Davis. Okay, I live in Nevada, as you know, a tax-free state. They don't raise our taxes. They're not looking for money. Illinois, always looking for more money. Now they want to tax the bookmakers, the legalized ones, so they want to run people back to the illegal bookmakers. They want more tax dollars. We're already one of the highest tax states in the country. Why are all the states that have the highest tax always looking for more money, and the states that don't charge state income tax are flourishing, like Texas, Florida, Nevada, and so on? Explain that to me. And that's I think is the overall problem. Okay, is that you continue to want to take instead of making things work the way they are and actually living with inside of an actual budget. And I don't have a problem with cutting some of the things from Medicaid, because I think when you look at the Medicaid system and Medicare, they steal too much money. The providers steal too much money. I mean, you have to go to the doctor too many times, and the doctors don't touch you anymore. They don't look at you anymore. They sit on their computer and type in notes. They charge you a bill like you had a full office visit. Yeah. I mean, I happen to be on Medicare. And again, I'm sick of what they do, because, you know, you got to keep running back just so they can charge you again.
All right, let's move on to this one here. No. I wanted to ask you about this. You're in Vegas. You mentioned Vegas. I didn't see coverage, but I'm sure, were there riots in Vegas over the last weekend?
Not that I noticed, but there could have been. I mean, you know, I try to stay away from that part if there is. But I didn't see any, and I didn't read about any, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't. You know, it's a very diverse population here. I mean, we've got an entire homeless city here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. You know, okay, let's go back to some trade stuff here. Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru, I don't know, Mr. Ishiba, failed to clinch a trade agreement on the sidelines of the G7 summit, an outcome that leaves Japan exposed to mounting U.S. tariffs and economic uncertainty. How is Japan faring economically these days in these economic waters? We need them to be our friend. We would love to be a trading partner with them. How does their economy strike you?
Well, their economy, listen, the government has supported that economy since 1990, and they continue to do so. I mean, interest rates are virtually zero or less than zero. You know, they're doing the exact opposite of anything that I would want to do. And of course they have, you know, a wealthier population. They're more of a freer society. But overall, all they do is, you know, continue to tax their people and to help support those that can't. And it's again, trade. I'm a big fan of the tariffs part. Okay. I mean, they've actually have produced some true capital. And yes, trading partners, but I would rather have those jobs here. Not that we could get people to work those jobs here, But I think Japan continues just to support the overall economy. The government continues just to keep interest rates virtually zero. And it's a very stagnant area, again, but it's still holding value.
Yeah. Japan among those that we're trying to make trade deals with. India's in there. EU is in there. India's probably going to be pretty tough. I don't imagine the EU will be easy either. I think maybe all the layups have been scored so far in this tariff war, yeah?
Yeah. And again, I believe in what we're trying to do. I really believe it's more about taking control and taking power back because we've given up so much because of a lot of the graft and things in our political arena, whether you be a Democrat or Republican, they're all on the same side. They're all on the side of grafting and taking money for deals that are not necessarily to the best interest of the American people. And I think that this is where, you know, you may not like what's going on right now, but this is where I think our president now is trying to retake control and understand that we are the boss. We are the reserve currency. We are the ones that are here. And if you want to be a part of it, great. We're happy to have you, but you got to be a part of it on our terms, not yours.
I'm talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz on AgriTalk this Juneteenth afternoon. Gosh, I keep forgetting what day it is, but I'm glad that you're here with me. We're going to talk some markets on the other side there, where your head should be at, according to Todd. Glad you're with us today on AgriTalk.
From the toasty mozzarella on top of your favorite pizza to the mound of real whipped cream on top of your favorite ice cream sundae, so many of the foods we enjoy are dairy products, and they get their start on the dairy farms of America. And we take this opportunity to say thanks to the men and women who operate our dairies and dairy farms.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute is being brought to you by Tractor Central, Durand, Mondovi, Menominee.
Every piece of land tells a story. The right equipment helps you tell it your way. Impromptu ball games, evenings with friends, or working on your own little piece of paradise. That's your story. A John Deere mower from Tractor Central helps you get there with precision, comfort, speed, and even a little fun. Visit Tractor Central to find the right John Deere lawn tractor or zero turn for your property. And a quality cut? That's only the beginning. Start now at TractorCentral.com.
It's a John Deere day.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. That's 800-917-8730.
We see enhanced yield overcoming the nitrogen deficiency, filling in those gaps. We also will see quality benefits as well with some crops in terms of forage quality or grain quality.
Outstanding. So what are the biggest opportunities for farmers that...
azotic.com/USA.
Fantastic. Thank you, John. That is Dr. John Squire, lead agronomist at Azotic Technologies.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
And welcome back to AgriTalk on your Juneteenth afternoon. One more quick segment with Bubba. I've been promising you the entire conversation that we were going to get to some markets, some strategy, just some ideas. Todd, start us off. Start us in the grains there. I don't know which market you would like to go to, but is there a market that necessarily you're thinking, ooh, gosh, I'm going to be looking out for this and I'm going to respond this way? Can you give us a little bit of that kind of talk?
Well, I think in the grain markets, Davis, really, if you're in what you are, you're a farmer, you're a producer, so you already own them. I'm a big fan of always being hedged, but I think that down at these prices in soybeans and in corn, I'd be willing to take the risk if I wasn't already hedged. I mean, most of the people that I deal with are hedged all the time, so it's not a big deal. Now that wheat has had a pretty big explosion, I would certainly take a look at hedging wheat up against, $6. Because all you're really doing, many of you have learned the hedge where you sell a call and you buy a put. That's a horrible hedge. That gives away your upside. I don't want to give away the upside. I want to keep the upside in play, but I want to protect the downside. So you use what they call a back ratio spread. You sell one, put you buy two. So you're now protected to the downside. And I would be looking at that in wheat with the big, huge move we've just had. The grain, corn and beans, I would probably be more interested if I wasn't already hedged to be on the sidelines waiting, because I do think the probability is that they'll break to the upside versus the downside. And then I'd look to hedge them.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to make of the corn and soybean crops. History would tell us that maybe these crops are perhaps bulletproof. It seems like crop projections, and before that even, acreage projections, and maybe they got it right at, 95, 96 million acres or something like that of corn. The crop needs to be there to meet these projections, and yet, if the crop is there, as many expect, it's going to be a weight on prices, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, you have to remember, we haven't had an event or a weather event anywhere across the globe. So when you look at the competition against the United States farmers, I mean, again, if there's no weather area or no shortage, then price will remain relatively stagnant. But I think that, again, at the prices where we are, if you base it on inflation, then we are significantly lower because we're more comparable. If you take out the price of ethanol in a bushel of corn, you're back talking about prices that we had in the 90s. Okay. Yeah. So we have not kept up with inflation. I keep waiting for the inflation trade here, and maybe it'll come. But one of the problems you have is a lack of overall participation, a lack of real interest. And, you know, you're not getting the trade in this market right now because, of course, the equities keep ticking higher.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, what do you make of the cattle? My opinion is cattle can, and especially with record cash cattle last week, it was up 206 from the previous week, ninth straight week of gains in the cash market. I'm just going to live under the assumption the cattle just go higher all the time now from here on out, and that's the end of it.
Well, you could live on that assumption. I mean, of course, I am not involved right now, but I would certainly, if I were, okay, I'd be a seller. Okay, to me, you know, I go back to the last time we had a move like this, which was about 10 years ago. And that in that time, the fat cattle made about $1.72, okay? Well, now we're at about $2.20, okay? Look, I'm not going to do anything because there's not enough business right now. But you know these prices can't be sustained. I'm not telling you to short them, but certainly if you're an owner of these and you're producing them, certainly I'd be locking in $2.10, $2.20 right now and making sure that if they do fall down, if Bubba is right and eventually the big sell-off's going to come, then I'd certainly rather be protected. I'd certainly rather pay 5 or 10 cents to be protected versus watch him go from 210 back to $1.70, which I think is a very high probability.
Wow. Okay. You tend to base your analyses on more on the technical side than the fundamentals. A lot of people pointing at that tightness in the national herd, looking at that cash price. Can you weigh the technicals against the fundamentals in cattle?
You can. I mean, look, bottom line, markets always trade off of technicals. Fundamentals eventually play, okay? But if you want to use the fundamentals, they've already kind of played out here. I mean, again, at what point is the consumer priced out of buying cattle? Okay. At what point is the consumer out of, can't they afford it anymore? It happens in every market over time. At some point, you reach a price that is non-sustainable. Is it 220? I don't have the answer. Again, I am not playing them right now because, of course, they're too slow. And I'm certainly not going to, what they say, they call it fighting the tape. I'm not going to fight them on the way up. But certainly in my mind, when they start to finally show me some weakness, I'll be piling in to the short side. Because there's going to be a price. Now, maybe it's 240. Again, I don't have the number. But at some point, there's going to be a price that they cannot sustain, fundamentals or no fundamentals. You know, we get too caught up in the fundamental world. I mean, if you look at, you know, the dollar, we always compare it to dollar. Well, dollar is down 10%. Why is not the grain markets moved higher? Okay. Again, we always talk, well, the dollar, it's the dollar, it's the dollar. Well, it's not the dollar. It's what the buyers and sellers are willing to do. And right now they're non-participating.
Okay, well, let's make sure that the hog guys have their heads put on straight. You want to tell them how to run their lives real quick?
Well, I don't know how to run their life. I would hedge up here. I think they're going higher. But again, we are at a pretty steep price. We've had a hell of a rally from 88 cents up to $1.12. I would certainly lock in some of that profit. Okay, again, you can keep the upside. If they keep going up, they'll go and you'll participate. But I certainly don't want to watch them go down and have them go back down to 95 or 90 cents and say, boy, I could have. You know, we should never say could have, would have, should have. We have tools in front of us that allow us to use the derivative markets to protect ourselves and put ourselves in the best position and still benefit from market movement. And I think that's when you finally understand and learn that, I think you're in a heck of a lot better shape in your future than you are by just hoping that it keeps going up and doesn't go down.
Really quick, we are super short on time here. Just give me a couple seconds on crude oil. What do you expect?
I think crude oil is going a lot lower. I think it'll be in the mid-50s or low-50s before the year's over. I think this recent rally is just based on what was going on in the Middle East, and we're going to produce more, and I think prices are coming down. The economy can't support it. There's a whole bunch of reasons, but I know we're short on time. But bottom line, I think we'll be back in the mid-50s before the year's over.
Todd Bubba Horowitz, thanks for spending some time with us on this Juneteenth. BubbaTrading.com is where you can get more. Tomorrow morning, tune in. We'll have the Friday free-for-all with guest host Sean Haney, the Alberta Breeze, right here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switched from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's giving himself 2 weeks to decide whether or not to join Israel in attacking Iran.